All right, and welcome back after the break there. I'm going to continue on. I have another hour. I'm not sure how much I want to do. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, actually. I might just play a few tunes and say some things, or might just go back to reading again. I don't know. I still want to get back to that book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Yes, it was a great tune. I like that. I mean, I heard it many, many years ago, honey, but, you know, I just... Something brought it across my YouTube channel, and I clicked on it, and it's the song has been affecting me for the last couple of weeks now, and I do want to mend my broken heart. I think everybody wants to mend a broken heart. I just don't know how to do that, but certainly, sure. Who wants to call in? Somebody. Yeah, somebody wants to call in. I don't care who it is. Totally sober, huh? Completely sober. Sure. Go ahead. Somebody wants to call in. I'll just put a couple of things on here and wait for the... I'll just put another short song in and wait for the call. Not sure what's going to go on here. I got a short one here, so let me just get this. Huh. Well, okay. Let's just do this. Hello. Hi, Vin.
Hi, Super Big Bad Man. How are you keeping there this morning?
That's not Vin, but it sounds like Dell again.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm back.
I never did get the song on, but we're live back on air.
What song were you going to sing?
I wasn't going to sing anything.
Are you on the iPad?
I'm sorry?
Spoons. Where's my spoons?
Okay, what's the topic? You asked for callers, you got callers.
And we are completely sober. Completely.
I didn't ask for callers. There was a question in there. You want a couple of completely sober guests, Super.
Yeah, we're as sober as the sewage.
So, yeah.
We're all lined up and ready to go. What's the tune? What's the subject matter?
I'll tell you one, right? There was a fella in court a long time ago. So the story goes, right? And the judge said to him, "You appear to be drunk." He says, "I'm as drunk as a judge." He says, "You mean as drunk as a lord?" "Yes, my lord," he said.
Drunk on power, huh?
He hit the nail on the head there. Yeah.
So, okay, serious. Are we supposed to be serious now, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Stephen, how are you doing? What's the topic?
I don't know. I thought, I've been thinking about honor a lot here lately. You know, I've been thinking about making short little videos about just subjects, just... Turn the camera
that's
on. And
that's an interesting. Okay, so well, and then I'll ask you. So, what's honor to you? What do you mean when you say honor? What does that mean to you?
Well, maybe I'm a little too old fashioned, but you know, honor to me is if something comes out of your mouth and you're not totally drunk, you should mean it. It should be honorable. Words should mean something.
So, in other words, don't let your mouth write checks your body can't cash.
Not so much checks, but, you know, anything. You say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time. You should, with all...
decency, endeavor to do your best.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think most people are like that, right? I mean, I like to think that, but is that true? Is that true, actually? I mean, when I interact with people, generally I assume, well, I mean, you know, if I say, well, look, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock on a Friday, they'll endeavor to be there. And if they're not there at 5 o'clock on a Friday, I don't automatically think that SOB, they're not here, they did it on purpose.
Well, I know people, well, me, myself, I'm within 5 minutes either way, 5 minutes early, 5 minutes late. You know, and usually if I'm 5 minutes late, there is some sort of a reason, traffic.
But if you're late, is that honorable?
It would have been probably 300 years ago, but today, well, I think it's still.
Are we talking here about intention? I mean, it's your intent, right? I mean, in other words, if I break my ass to get to meet you at 5 o'clock on a Friday and I'm 5 minutes late, as long as it's a genuine delay,
yeah,
you've no right to be upset with me, right?
No.
But if I don't give a frig and I think, yeah, it's only Stephen, I don't care about Stephen, well, he can wait, right? Then yeah. It's dishonorable, right?
Yeah.
More to the point, really, if Stephen knows me and he knows, you know, sometimes I'm delayed or perhaps I'm not generally honorable, is that acceptable?
Well, what if you're like a scatterbrain type and you're like, you know, you say, well, with best will in the world, you say, yeah, Friday, 5 o'clock, yeah, I'll see you then.
But
life gets in the way, a million and one things happen, and then Friday, 5 o'clock, you look at your watch and go, now, why does Friday, 5 o'clock seem to, what the hell? I'm supposed to be meeting Stephen in town and I'm 3 hours away.
What am I doing?
Why should Stephen make allowances for that?
Yeah. I do know people that if you want them to be at a certain time, you better tell them 30 minutes ahead of time. You want to meet him at 5, you better tell them that you want to meet him at 4:30.
But see, I wouldn't make allowances for people like that.
Yeah.
I'd say, look, if I'm going to meet you at 5:05 and, you know, they show up, great. And if they're late, I'd say, yeah, I've been standing here like a half hour with my, you know, what's the story? And if they don't give me a good enough a reason, I'm thinking, I'm never actually going to arrange to meet this XYZ again.
Yeah.
I suppose the question is it fair and reasonable to make allowances for people?
No. You shouldn't have to change your life for someone else.
Because that's not really...
But we do that all the time.
Well, we give and take, but I mean, is it fair and reasonable is the question.
No, I mean, sure, we do it all the time, Ben, but you're giving and taking some of your principles.
Well, I suppose, maybe, but aren't you, look, I put it this way, aren't we negotiating, I suppose, different criteria for different individuals? In other words, let's say I know Dale here, for example, is always bloody late, right? He's late. Everybody says he's always late, no matter what the hell you say to him, he's late. He's not, by the way. But let's say that's the type of individual he is. And I say, hey, Dale, pints Friday night, 10 o'clock. And he goes, yep, I know it. You know, he's not going to show up at 10 o'clock. So because I know that's the way he is, it's just his thing, if you will, and that's okay. He doesn't mean anything by it. But then there's another individual who's always punctual. Del B, for example. Del B is always punctual, never late, and I arranged to meet him at the same time on Friday night, and he's late. Now I'm left with a quandary, like, well, does he just not give a crap? Is he, you know, what's yeah. going on here, right?
Yep, yep.
I suppose the question is, how many pints do I order? No, but I mean, isn't that A, disrespectful, B, inconsiderate, C, Del B is obviously there. Del A has gone AWOL or whatever. You know, I mean, he may turn up, he may not turn up, he may have forgotten, he may be.
He could be in Las Vegas on the slot machines or something.
Hey, you just don't know. But I mean, where does that leave me? Where does that leave you, Stephen?
Well, where do you think it leaves you first, I suppose?
Where does that leave me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're sitting there at 10 o'clock on Friday night.
You know, he hasn't shown up or she or whatever.
Del B is there, which, I mean, what do you do?
I'm getting pissed and I'm cursing you.
But is that fair and reasonable? Because I mean, if it's contracting, right?
Yeah. Well, in a sense, it is.
No, that's correct, because you have to have an understanding of. In other words, if you're contracting with the devil or you're contracting with an angel, right? We know. Well, you got to expect different things from a devil than you would from an angel, or any variation thereof. Yeah, you know, approaching. You know, absolute, shall we say, you know, omnipotent being in the center, if you will, a devil on one side and an angel on the other. Yeah. So in other words, well, this guy is always punctual. 8 o'clock, bing, he's there at 8 o'clock. Or you arrange 8 o'clock. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But is it because, well, they normally would, but they don't care about you, or they normally would, but they got delayed, or they normally would, but you know,
they haven't.
They just didn't, or they decided. You know, it's an individual thing, isn't it? You know, in other words, for example, if you hear somebody say, oh, I hate it when people are late for me. What I'm hearing is, I hate it when somebody I cared about let me down once when I really needed them.
Yeah.
Or I don't hear, you know, the generality.
Or when I expected them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I needed somebody, they weren't here. That's, you know.
Yeah. But what do you do about these people that want to make a grand entrance? You know, you tell them that there's some sort of a social event.
I outshine those people with a grander entrance.
I'm joking. Do you?
I leave that to Sean McGuire. Sorry, Sean.
And if he's listening, he'll know what we mean. But no, right. Bring it back to brass tacks, right? Okay. You're sitting there. It's 10 o'clock. You're looking at your watch, right? And somebody hasn't arrived, okay? Now, if it's a pattern, how do you deal with it?
Well, hang on. Are we talking now a couple of beers here or a romantic liaison?
No.
That's a different, that's totally, you know.
No. It was only beers.
Well, or a bank manager. See, a bank manager, he should be there, right?
No, that's an unreasonable expectation on your part.
A buddy is in some other realm, and romantic liaison, that's in a different realm again, right? I mean,
well, I suppose the question is, how do you deal with things on your side of the pond there, Stephen?
Probably with aggravation, disgust.
No, but you moved from anticipation to aggravation. Why is that?
Expectations, I think.
And disillusionment, disappointment.
Yeah, disappointment, disillusionment.
So does that mean when you come to Ireland and I say, yeah, I'll see you at about 5 and I'll pick you up from the airport and I show up at like 9 o'clock, half cut, and you're going to be a little pissed off?
No.
Because in Ireland, we do it different.
I assume you wouldn't be driving now. I assume you'd leave him where he is at that stage.
Right? Yeah. You see, in Ireland, Stephen, for example, we'd say, yes, of course I'll be there Tuesday. But we just don't ever define which Tuesday.
Right.
So people have a different attitude, I suppose, in some ways.
Is it fair to say that people in the States, by comparison with the Europeans, are generally late? So, because if that's your question, I would question, like, why are you formulating that question? Is that your expectation or is that your experience?
Or is it because you would definitely make sure you wouldn't be late for someone?
I think that's probably the situation right there. I would, you know, try in all honesty be somewhere to where I was supposed to be at a certain time.
So what we're really talking about here is it's not about them, it's about you, in the sense that if somebody said to you, would you meet me at X o'clock, you will move literally mountains to get there at X o'clock.
Well, maybe it's just my old-fashionedness, I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Let's say I said to you, hey, Stephen, meet me down the pub for a few beers at 10 o'clock, right? And you and I are good friends, good buddies, whatever. And for some reason, you know, at 9:30, you decide, you know what? I'm going to have a nap for 20 minutes. Even though I'm going to be, you know, a half hour late, I'm just going to go and have a nap. I'm tired. And I'll just make up some excuse for Vin. Would you do that?
Not for you, but I have for people that I didn't really appreciate.
No, I don't mean me as a me. But yeah. I mean, you know, somebody you considered a good buddy, right?
Somebody you know well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, would you think, oh, screw him, a half hour here or there. Psst, what the hell? I need a nap. Would you take the nap or would you just go and meet?
No, I'd just go. I have done things. Dead dog tired. One and two.
There's an excellent question there in from Nick.
Yes, there is. What would folks...
And his question is there, right? What would folks consider the acceptable time margin you might allow to consider somebody late, right? Is not being too early sometimes more impolite?
That's a hell of a question.
That is a bloody hell of a question.
I mean, what if you arrange to meet me at 8 o'clock, right? And I show up at 7:30 and I say, you're there at 25, you've been there before me. What would you be thinking? What would I be thinking?
Yeah.
But aside from that, what is the acceptable margin you would allow? Yeah. Let's say 10 o'clock Friday night for pints. Okay. Uh-huh. And obviously Dale D is there.
If you're early, fine.
And you're discussing Dale A, like, I mean, where is he? You know, and the rest of it. At what point, like, would you draw a line under it and move elsewhere?
Yeah. I guess that would depend on whether you're in a rural society or whether you're in a big city or, you know, whether there's a lot of traffic, a lot of people moving around. You ever been to New York City?
Traffic aside, like, it's your experiences, your life experiences, whether you're from a rural or an urban background.
Yeah, with modern transportation, it doesn't really come into it, really, does it? I mean, if you're due to be there at 8 o'clock and you know it's an hour's travel, you leave at 7. Yeah. If you're due to be there at 8 o'clock and you live in the city and you know it's 5 minutes on a train, you leave at 5:00. So you know it's neither here nor there, really.
Yeah. No, actually, I think that's very relevant. I think that's a very good question. Like, at what point in time do you draw a line under it? Okay, let's say that it's a date. Okay, let's say, Stephen, that you and I are attracted to each other. And let's say that we've set up.
He does have a fine beard.
Well, he does. Yeah. So let's say that I desire to pull upon it, right? So let's say you're there now
you
at 10
his
o'clock.
Beard there, right?
His beard, yeah. Right. So let's say that you're there at 10 o'clock and all the rest of it, okay? Let's say that we don't know each other, okay? Remove the proximity aspect or the friendship aspect from it, right?
You could be from China for all he knows.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's say you're there now for 10 o'clock, like, and you have reasonable expectations and... you're there at 10 o'clock. Like, at what point in time would you leave the venue and say, well, hey, you know, Del A ain't going to turn up and move on with Del B?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. That's not even...
Well, it's a serious question.
We need a response to that one, I think.
Can you consider it at least?
I don't think I would. I'm just not that way, I don't believe.
Okay, but why would you not
leave? I'm not suggesting that you're that way, and I'm not suggesting that we have a relationship of any kind. I'm saying hypothetically, okay, assuming that, okay, let's say you're heterosexual and Dele is of the opposite sex. Okay, at what point in time would you draw the line under it and say, well, hey, you know, obviously Dele ain't going to turn up? Assuming that Dele was of the opposite sex, assuming you're heterosexual. Not that it matters for the purpose of this conversation.
Okay, stop now.
Like, would you give it 15 minutes or 30 minutes? Or is that a reflection upon... No, the only reason really that I'm posing the question is, my point really fundamentally is that it's more a reflection on ourselves. Let's just say, okay, I'll reverse the question and I'll say, okay, if you ask me that question, and assuming we're heterosexual and all the rest of it, right? Not that it matters. But... assuming that that situation was the situation, I would say 15 to 20 minutes. You know, at which point in time, if you hadn't made contact, I'd say, well, hey, let's draw a line under that one and move on, you know?
In a modern context with, you know, modern technology, that's not unreasonable. But no, like, say, go back to when we were dating age, like, you know, 18, 19, where mobile phones didn't exist, you kind of had to give a bit more, right?
You remember Stephen way back when, yeah?
Unfortunately, I do.
Well, we all do, you know, and we're just shooting the breeze here and all the rest of it. Like, I mean, you know, we're just mixing it up, but it's still a good hypothetical question.
Honor. It's honor was the phrase that Stephen said, honor. So what's honorable and what's dishonorable? Is that really what you're trying to get at here, Steve?
Well, I'm not even sure how the time situation got brought up as far as honor, but, you know, I was going to go off in a totally different direction, but...
Give us your direction. What direction were you coming at from?
I was actually going to bring up the, just the political system.
Give us an example.
Well, one of the examples is a lot of the times that you will say just the trying to appreciate the honor of a political party, and you will say, well, you know, I'm trying to believe you, but you're really not giving me much of a chance to. You're not.
Okay. So in other words, online, you meet somebody. Let's give it the equivalent. Online, you meet someone, and female, for example, in your case, and she says, hi, Stephen, I'm 23. I'm Jasmine. I'm 23, busty, slim, hourglass figure.
And hot to trot.
And hot to trot.
Yeah, I get
that. You show up, and you're looking around.
You're familiar with that expression, right? Hot to trot, yes, even?
Yes.
You're okay. Looking around, and you ain't seen no Jasmine.
Right.
You know, you're seeing Jasmine's older sister.
Or Jasmine's, you know? Or Jasmine's mother, yeah.
Or possibly her mother, and you're like, hold on a minute, you know.
They're all in their late 50s and that, yeah.
But my point is, isn't that a reflection on ourselves, you know, as to how we view these situations, hypothetical as they may be at this point. But I mean, nonetheless, isn't that a reflection on ourselves? So, I mean, somebody that wouldn't wait 10 minutes is obviously making a statement.
Yeah.
Somebody that would wait 2.5 hours is obviously making another statement.
Yeah.
So the time factor involved is surely irrelevant.
But this also goes to the micro and the macro, doesn't it? I mean, as you said, it also relates political. Like, you know, if you have people in a political sphere saying, we promise you when we're elected, we'll do yada, yada, yada day.
Within such a time frame.
Yeah. So you elect them and do it. No. Have they got lots of excuses?
It being a 4-year time frame.
Does it make any difference? No. You know why? Because they've timed it perfectly. So there's another election on the way. And then you have to make a choice between another version of somebody who's basically telling you in advance.
Yeah. But 4 years later, we're into a whole new set of promisers and promises.
Oh, of course.
So at what point in time do we draw the line?
I'm going to use a euphemism. It's not really a euphemism. If it was a whorehouse, we'd make that decision very simply and very quickly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But because it's politics, we think, well, okay, so I'm not getting screwed today, but tomorrow I will.
Well, I'm glad you're agreeing with him, Stephen, because I'm not at this point. Okay, given that analogy.
The analogy is good. It's a good analogy. It fits. I can extrapolate if required.
Not necessary. But Stephen, surely, given a 4-year period, we should be making that determination. Is that not a fair point?
I think so, yeah.
Well, should it not be an annual thing? I mean, let's say, who you got over there? Obama, right? And who we got here? Higgins.
By comparison.
Actually, do you know, Stephen, by the way, you only end up with a president for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Do you know we in Ireland end up with them for 7?
7 whole years.
Good grief.
Yeah, suck on that for a bit.
Yeah.
7 years is a long time in politics.
It's literally a life sentence.
Well, if I got 7 years of a life sentence, I'd expect to be out in 3 or 4. But nonetheless, Stephen, it is a very, very valid question. And I think it's interesting that you posed it from the point of view that it's our expectations, or my take on it, or my feedback on it would be that it's purely dependent on our expectations. Yeah. And our self-realization.
And background knowledge of whoever we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, as we say, I mean, if we know that's Fred, Fred's always bloody late. Or that's John, John is never late. Or that's, do you know what I'm saying?
But my question is, why do we accept him?
Well, we will accept or not accept, depending upon our expectation and depending upon if they're late, shall we say.
Yeah. It's a reflection on ourselves. It's a reflection on ourselves.
Yeah, but if someone said, look, I'm late because I had a car crash, you're not going, oh, well,
no,
okay.
That's an exceptional fine. Circumstance.
Or, but if they say, oh, I'm late because, you know, I stopped in this shop because I saw something that caught my eye. I didn't really need it. But I went in and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Say, I'm going to pass you something quick. Do you think this is even remotely noteworthy of even talking about? I'll let you look at this for a second. Then go on there, Dill. I'm gonna respond to somebody in a Facebook chat there. They just passed me that.
Yeah, I don't have access to your Facebook, so I can't comment at this point in time.
Well, but it's
surely a recognition of our self-worth as to how we evaluate any situation. And that's my point, which is that we evaluate things on a basis, you know, a basis per basis situation or evaluation. And that is surely what this is all about, that if we don't recognize that, hey, we're in a situation and live in the now, which ties back to our earlier discussions, then surely we're not recognizing that which is.
Mm. Yes.
Just as for that image you sent me, Stephen, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to use names on this, our so-called names. But yeah, I'd seen that already.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
It is.
It's indicative of the mindset of the, anytime somebody posts bile like that on the internet, okay, and that's all that is, what they don't realize is that tells everybody more about them than it does about the person they're supposedly vilifying.
Only to a certain mind, though. It's self-evaluation.
Sure, sure. You know? To me, it does. You see, I look at that and I go, wow, that whoever they are, they have serious issues and they're trying to, you know.
Yeah, but with respect, and I hate that term, but with respect, like, you've spent years self-analyzing these type of scenarios, you know. I'm not a Facebook fan, or, you know, actually I actively try and stay off of Facebook and social media like that, because the whole hiding behind the keyboard aspect just doesn't impress me.
Well, let's examine it for example for a moment and say, okay, let's say let's disregard the names and let's disregard the first part there, and let's just go to if any of you are sharing links, even just links by either of these individuals mentioned, you will be blocked by me. Okay, that's what they have on there, not me, folks. And here's the caveat, and possibly also by hundreds of people on my friends list. Now, what that is doing is that's somebody who clearly believes they're in control of a cult.
Yeah.
And because if you don't have a cult, how can you say such a thing? I could never say such a thing. I mean, if I said to somebody, you know, oh, you share a link from someone, you know, all the members of People's Internet Radio will block you. Because most of the members of People's Internet Radio would say, no, we won't, Finn. So, you know.
And that's interesting. That was raised there earlier tonight. I don't know where you're listening, Stephen. But, you know, on PIR, by and large, there are very few trolls active.
Mm.
Because they tend to die a death by a thousand cuts, you know.
Well, you know, it's just the fact that this person just has delusions of grandeur, that I am the high and almighty, yada yada yada, and you should
self delusions,
yeah,
yeah. But that's okay too. You see, I mean, there's room for us all. You know, we got to give and take and that type of thing. And
this individual is going to stay living, right? I mean, he's going to do his thing.
I'm
aware that, you know, people in the chat are probably thinking, who the hell are we talking about here? We're not going to say, okay? But let's just say the following. As I said, as I'm reading these comments, I'm seeing what they don't realize is they are giving me a glimpse inside their fractured psyche.
Well,
which is why I don't put stuff like that on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's going to continue.
I'd be afraid of sharing stuff like that because it's a form of altruism. Like it really gives people insight into what I'm thinking and my modus operandi.
They're exposing their own insecurities right there.
Absolutely. And he is going to continue living, Vin, unless he falls off that 200 foot podium that he's on.
Yeah, well, I mean, he built it himself, so, you know.
But we build our own delusions, don't we?
Yep.
Or our own allusions.
Apparently, yeah. Absolutely. Sure, we do.
Look, that individual was going through some, let's just say, some very unusual territory for the last 6 or 7 months, as far as I could tell. And, you know, it was like, well, enough of you talking about me. I'll talk about me for a change.
Yeah. I'll give you some insight to me, like, as opposed to you.
You're not scratching my back hard enough or good enough, so I got to scratch my own.
Look, you stop telling me how much you love me. Let me tell you how much I love me.
Well, it's more, it's more, you know, a debt by a thousand cuts, but I'll inflict them if I wish, but I ain't sharing them with you, you know, type of thing.
Leave them be. Let them just do their thing. They're going to do it anyway.
But isn't that social media? I mean, isn't that the whole Facebook meme? From the point of view of, well,
it's social Harry Carey for some people going on Facebook. You know, they mean well, but they end up committing social Harry Carey.
Well, you know,
sharing that about themselves, which shouldn't be shared really.
But it's not just,
you know, because it should be private.
But if you're making comments about others, this individual is making comments about others and suggesting that their followers.
But you see.
Should follow. It's a command, you see.
But you see, this Facebook and Twitter and some of these other social media platforms, they have presented and they have made somewhat virtual celebrities out of people. And it has gotten to the point where some of the masses...
But you see, to become a virtual celebrity, as you say, right?
Right, right.
It's really not virtual. It's a veritable celebrity, more accurately. They're veritable celebrities. And, you know, it's like you're a diamond in a diamond mine, you know? I mean, there's a million diamonds around and the sunlight hits you for a split second.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You shine brightly and you die away. Next. Now it's another diamond's turn. And these people, they feel anger and, you know, repression and all this to somebody else because now it's their turn to shine. Whereas in fact, you know, what we need to realize is we're all diamonds. Just because the light's not shining on you doesn't mean you're not a diamond.
Yeah, but I've got it just the opposite way, Vin. I'm dreading what could possibly come if I get big. I am absolutely dreading. And Nick,
if you get what?
I am dreading what could possibly come if I do get big in this.
Oh, big. Sorry, big. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in this industry. And Nick Nomick's got it right. It is me / the.
Yeah. Well, you see, if let's say you do, right? And this is something I had to deal with a few years back, right? And I really relied upon other members of the site to kick me up the pants if my inflated ego was getting in the way. And they regularly did. And I needed it until I got a handle on it, until I recognized, before they type that message to me tonight, I'm going to curtail that behavior. And it took, I mean, I'm going to tell you straight, it took me a while. But, it's difficult. But basically what that individual is saying is it's like a famous person who has an entourage. And basically they fire anybody in their entourage who says anything negative.
Right.
And if you do that, you end up with an entourage who knows the only right decision for them is to always lick your boots.
Be a yes boss. Yeah.
Yes man, right? Yes man. Now, if you surround yourself with yes men and you say, well, I think tomorrow I'm going to discuss and I'm going to talk about this. What do you think? And if the only option they have to them is or get blocked or banned is to say, yes man, yes boss, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then you go and do it. And let's say it goes horribly, horribly wrong.
Right.
Then eventually you're left with who is to blame.
Right.
You. Now, what you can do is, which is what they're doing here, in the meantime, before you hit that point, you can say, well, that yes man or yes woman said, I suggested I should go and talk about X, Y, Z. And they said, that's a great idea, boss. I did it and it went horribly wrong. Therefore, it's their fault. Everybody, please go and hate on them. And your loyal followers go, certainly, boss, because we don't want to get blocked. We'll go and hate on them for you. And they'll even come back and report, master, we went and hated on them for you. They blocked me now, master.
Yeah.
Good servant.
Yeah, but that's a socio sort of a controller too, because...
Yeah, the individual is clearly...
Yeah, but a lot of sociopaths, that's what they do. In fact, most, if not all, they tend to set up a group around them that tend to follow.
The yes bosses,
Following is not good for the follower.
No.
Because they're A, controlled, B, they really don't know what they're doing. They're following instructions and all the rest of it. So they're not making their own determination in relation to a lot of issues. And C, it's self-detrimental.
Sure.
So it can only end in disharmony and confusion and you know, feelings of self.
What that is
self-legislation.
That's that's somebody. I'm going to tell you straight up, Stephen. That's somebody who actually despises themselves.
Yeah.
And but they don't know why.
Yeah.
It's all a makey-uppy. Has a very good question for you there, Stephen. Is there a difference between ego and behavior?
Well, that's a great question.
Is there a difference between ego and behavior? It depends on whether you're a psychopath or not, I would think.
But so
you can have a big ego.
Is there a difference? I mean, let's define.
Yeah, assume a non. Let's say just an average, normal Joe.
You know, people can, men especially can have an ego at certain times and not have a certain behavior. I mean,
you need an ego to get out of bed in the morning.
We wouldn't do anything without ego.
This is probably true. It is.
It's fundamental. It's necessary. Essential, yeah. We all need an ego. It's a super ego, really, that we're avoiding.
Yeah, the super ego.
There's ego, and then there's ego.
The narcissistic ego.
And then there's behavior, and then there's negative behavior.
Sure.
So I suppose the question is there a difference? I think it's a fabulous question. Between ego and superego.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Probably the mindset. Probably your own image of yourself is going to make that difference.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean,
that's good.
The image you hold of yourself, your residual image, if you will.
Yeah.
Your self-confidence, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it's most people in their own imagination are fantastic.
And understanding.
You know, I mean, even the most twisted SOB on the planet, at some stage
or
at some degree in their head, well, there's an excuse for the reason that I chopped up those 15 bodies. And that's perfectly reasonable, right? And they asked for it. And besides, you know, it was Tuesday, for heaven's sakes. I hate Tuesday. Everybody knows I hate Tuesday.
Or everybody knows.
They were in my,
they
were in my vision.
Hey.
Yeah.
They couldn't.
The officer uniform.
I pulled that trigger.
They didn't. They didn't move out of the way of my axe quick enough.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't know that the zip ties weren't strong enough to hold them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I said it long before.
Prisoners would have escaped if I didn't shoot them.
Yeah. Exactly. Those terrorist dissenters.
Well, you see, you're in a state, okay, and I emphasize the word state. Stephen, that is of the consideration and evaluation that, you know, politics is by and large acceptable and, you know, we vote people in and they do what they do and we as a nation or a state do what they do.
If mankind could actually think, politics wouldn't exist, folks.
And I cast
no, they wouldn't.
No, not at state, all. Stephen, I'm just saying you're from the locality that might have that, you know, consideration, but I'm not casting dispersions on you personally. I'm just saying, my question is really, is that acceptable?
I pose the question often, Dale. How many times do you or I have to be lied to? What's the number? Can you put a number on it?
I can hear.
4,000?
With a good friend, it can even be just once, right?
Yeah.
Which is really strange when you think about it, because with, say, a lover, it can be, for some people, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And with a politician, it can be a fucking 1,000 times.
10,000, 15.
And really, we should reverse that, right?
1,000 truths does not, or 1,000 lies does not a truth make.
No.
No, not indeed.
No, but, you know, how many times do the people of the world have to be lied to?
Yeah, but take it back to honor. You were talking about honor. So which aspect of this idea, what does honor mean to you?
Political system, you know, they open their lips and something comes out and it resembles words of honor and then they don't honor it.
Yeah, but they're just mimics, right? I mean, it's a Punch and Judy show. I mean, just because Mr. Punch stands up there and says, I love my wife, and then, of course, he takes out the rolling pin and claps her across the head.
Or cheats on a whore with her.
You know, and she goes, he hit me in the head. And he goes to the crowd, oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a Punch and Judy show, right?
Right, yeah, but, you know.
You lied about those emails. Oh, no, I didn't. You know, you had sex with that woman. I never had sex
with that woman. No, nope, not one time. I did not have sex with that woman.
There you go.
Miss Monica Lewinsky, not one time. How dare you?
Yeah, and it depends on what your definition of is.
Sex.
Is
and right? Sex, yeah. Well, he was going off of what the Victorian definition of sex, I think, wasn't he?
Well, no, is. That word is.
Is. Is that what it was?
Okay. He asked that because at the time, 18 significant definitions of is existed.
Yeah.
So that's why he said, well, it depends on what your definition of is. In other words, he just threw him a Mr. T curveball.
Semantics.
And he threw it well. Yeah, he was saying to them, you know, if they were to say, well, now, Mr. Clinton, that's just semantics. And he would say back to them, well, hey, it's all semantics, right?
That's right.
Because that's what Mr. D would say, because that's what it is. You're just being awkward. Clearly, that's a cigarette lighter in your hand. I only have this.
Yeah.
Yes, but that is a cigarette lighter. What, this? You're just being awkward. What they mean by that is, look, we're trying to line you up for a fall here, and you're not playing ball.
Right.
Do you want to play?
Yeah.
I suppose it comes back really to your first question, Stephen, which is, you know, what is honor?
Mm.
Isn't it surely your perception of sin?
That's all it is, actually. Because honor does not exist outside of us, does it?
Or does it?
Okay, well, that's Stephen. Stephen, fire away.
Does honor exist outside of us?
Like, is it external?
External.
I mean, what's honor to you? Is that honor to me?
I don't know that.
That's what I'm saying. So is it an individual thing?
Yeah.
It's like the time period that you might allow, right, for Del B to be late, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Del B was a female and she told you were late or she was late, that might be a whole nother issue.
However, that's directly proportional to how good looking Del B was, right? I mean, if she's in flits, you give her 10 minutes. If she's rocking, I'm going to take the hour, right?
But again, and how long knew Del B? You know,
if she's rocking, I'll find out. I'll wait 2 hours to find out.
And what your relationship was. But it all depends on your own perception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fundamental point here. It's your self-evaluation and your own perception of your outlook, your understanding, your cognizance of the situation, your circumstances, your mood. All of these factors affect your decision at the time.
Well, for example, if I said to you, Stephen, look, if a woman keeps you waiting more than 10 minutes, you're a sucker if you hang around, right?
Yeah.
She's dishonoring you. And you think, okay, well, I'm waiting for, let's say, Sarah Jane. You're waiting for plain Jane, And you think, well, 10 minutes. She's like, I'm not going to dishonor myself because I've accepted Vin's definition of dishonor. So you leave. And she was a fantastic woman, but she got held up in traffic or whatever.
Yeah.
She would have become the love of your life, right?
Yeah.
And you missed an opportunity.
And you missed an opportunity. And then, sexy Sarah, is agreeing to meet you one night, and you hit a 10-minute point, and, you're sitting there thinking, well, I left for plain Jane. It's 10 minutes now. I've seen what sexy Sarah looks like. Maybe I'll stretch it out a little bit. Maybe I didn't quite look at me once.
Well, you know, but maybe it's just me, but sexy Sarah doesn't always impress me. Plain Jane.
No, but let's say she does, right? Let's say sexy Sarah has impressed the hell out of you.
Are you insinuating that you're more of a plain Jane woman, man?
I might be insinuating that.
Well, maybe. Okay, well then let's say plain Jane rocks your boat, right?
Okay.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Look, so whatever you perceive, whatever your perception of sexy Sarah is, right?
Again, we're back to perceptions.
It's all about perception.
It's all perception and understanding. But isn't it, Stephen?
It is.
Yeah. There's a good question there in the chat box, which is, by Makey Oppie, is honor part of ego or behavior?
Well, you know, this was another thing I was going to bring up on short videos. What is perception? What is the perception of good or good looking, or what is the perception of good?
Whatever your eyeballs tell you.
Beauty is always in the eye of the beholder.
It is. It is. Always is.
And there are some very odd beholders knocking around, you know?
Yeah. Mine must be a queer sort of beholder that had me. I mean, let's face it, folks. she looked at me and she went, I want him. And I was looking at her going, what, really? Me?
Well, you know, society today tries to tell people that being a size 2 over here in America, which is, you know.
Size 2? I don't know. Do I
never
know many
that,
of those?
No. No. Size 8 is what we'd call it. Supermodels are size 8. Is that right?
Really?
That
well, they're size 2s well, over here.
It's size 0 in America.
Yeah, okay. Size 0 or
2. Oh, sorry.
Size 8
size
here.
Size 0 in America is a size 8 here, I think. Is that right?
It could
and
be.
A size 2 would be like a size 16, maybe.
Nah, well, I'm not sure about that. But
14. I think of something like right. That.
Well, we've got a translation issue there. Like, but
a 14 or a 16 over here in the States would be a little plump.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, 16 is a
14 here would be about average, I'd say.
16 is approaching plump, isn't it? I mean, that's because I mean, that's
approaching.
Yeah.
But, anyways,
14 here might be.
I mean, that's good, average. Right? I'm happy from 16 up. I'm happy.
Let's hit in a healthy average here. 12 or 14 here would be okay.
Yeah. But, anyways, what I was trying to get to is society has tried to train us what good looking is and what beauty is. But,
yeah, I mean, yeah, go on, sorry.
It's never been able to do that for me. It's never been able to train me to.
Yeah, okay. Now, why is that, Steve?
Ticks your box. Yeah.
Why is that? You tell us, why is that? I mean, what MTV would have you thinking, Nicki Minaj or whoever the latest greatest is, right?
Yeah.
That's who you should, or Kim Kardashian or whatever. Yeah. That's who you should aspire to. Right. And you might look at them and you might go, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Exactly.
So why is that in there? Because you look and you go, yeah, okay. Because, well, I mean, nice skin.
I think I've always questioned that.
Smile. She's very attractive.
I think I've always questioned that, though.
But she's not floating your boat.
Right.
Why not?
Because I know the difference between perception is and what somebody actually is different.
Right, but hang on a sec. You see,
so that's the perception versus reality.
You see, the thing is, perception versus reality. TV, yeah. When you see Nicki Minaj or whomever, I don't know, Kylie Minogue, whatever. And you look at her and you might desire what you're seeing on TV as a, wow, that's a woman I'd like to be involved with, whatever. They don't look like that in reality.
No, they don't. Not at all.
Not, you know, I mean,
lighting the makeup.
Presented as such.
Lighting the makeup.
I mean, shit, you look at what I can do with me on the video screen, for heaven's sakes. I look all right sometimes.
No comms.
The silence is fucking. Thanks.
Modern magic, huh, Ben?
Fine.
Video magic, right, Ben?
Yeah. I'm sitting in a small room here with him now, so.
Video magic.
But very presentable.
Well, it suits you, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, the lack of hair, you know, I mean, that's a turn on to some.
Follically challenged. You were listening to George Carlin earlier, come on.
Yeah. But very, very well presented, I might say. But back to, you know, how much hair has she got?
Honorable behavior is.
Where?
And is that relevant?
Does she have lovely, long, black, curly teeth?
Yeah. No, but you know yourself that there's been psychological studies that indicate that good-looking people are more reliable sources as far as a TV presenter than... Well, not so good looking people.
Now, there's something I can talk to you about. Hold on a sec.
And there's a reason because that
there's a good looking index, if you will. It's a mathematical formula based on the Fibonacci spiral.
Yeah.
Distance of the eyes, the length of the nose, compared to the mouth and the cheeks and your bone structure and all that.
Symmetrics.
There's all that. Okay. So there are certain things that we look at and we go, that's attractive. It's not really attractive. What is it? That's your genetic code recognizing, if you will, another set of genes that are going to be advantageous for offspring, right?
Yes.
That, you know, if me and herself here get together, chances are we'll have good, healthy, strong offspring.
Yeah, but their
expectations.
They're trying to portray a false illusion that good looking is respectable.
No. What they did was, see, the likes of Nicki Minaj, etc., is they took people who, even if they weren't in line with that situation,
expectation,
they take them in and put them under the knife, and they create it.
Yeah,
the best plastic surgeons in the world know you follow the Fibonacci sequence.
Yep,
that's how they design their faces. So their face looks like that, but their genetics don't, and that's why all these people they end up in car crash relationships with others who've had the same bloody processes done. I've even heard it said, if you go to a nightclub or a disco, and you meet a woman, you think physically she's attractive, etc., pleasing on the eye, etc., or vice versa, or whatever the situation may be. But if they wear perfumes and deodorants and fucking, you know, makeup, it blocks the genetic signals, the odor and the pheromones.
Yeah.
And it's the next morning, you might literally wake up with someone who's still very physically attractive to you,
and
but
puke.
You're just not into them, and you're like, you don't know why. You think, well, what the hell is wrong? They're good looking, they're healthy, they're... But you're like, get me out of here.
Yeah. Stephen, is that why you wear a beard?
Is that why I wear a beard? What?
Does it block that Fibonacci sequence, like in terms of, does it confuse the observer?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't. I just
make
you
more or less attractive. That's what I
thought.
I
the beard was wearing.
I just don't care about the looks anymore. I just don't care about the. I don't know. It just doesn't matter to me anymore. Well, it never has. But the first 2 years that I was on the video, I was clean shaven every show. But
yeah, and I always thought, you know what, that guy needs a beard.
He needs a beard. But how do you find that appeals to the opposite sex?
Well, I'm finding a lot more attraction here lately than the clean shaven look ever got me for some reason.
So is it masking the symptoms or is it creating an illusion?
I don't have a clue.
Trust me, go with the illusion.
maybe you're just happy as you were.
Yeah. Maybe.
See there, from just Jimmy in the chat. Abby Martin rocks reporting on telly, right? So Abby Martin clearly rocks a few people's world. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Abby Martin does nothing for me. Yeah. Nothing.
Well, I'm sorry now to say, but I haven't an absolute clue who Abby Martin
on RT, Russia Today.
You're right, Nick. I mean, it's real.
She's a beautiful, slim, you know, very smart woman. She is. She's,
you know who size 8 for you there.
I'm going to call her. What? Okay. When I look at Abby Martin, I see a boy's body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see the curves I need to see. I need ins and outs. Right?
You know who doesn't do it for me, Vin? Angelina Jolie. She has never done it for me.
Bloody hell. No. She's a car crash.
Never done it for me. Yep.
Yeah, no. I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'll let you into my head.
With respect, now.
Doris Day.
You know who did it for me. Stop her right there. You know who did it for me, Vin. And you might. Well, I don't know how old you are, Del, but Vin can remember Gilligan's Island. There was always the debate. Everybody would ask a boy or a man, "Is it Ginger or Marianne?" And it was always Marianne that did it for me.
Right. You remember Gilligan's Island? You want to see a YouTube clip?
Yeah.
Let's go to YouTube. Okay, hold on.
Or just Google image, Gilligan's Island, yeah.
Oh, actually, there you go. That's even better, yeah.
Marianne was the girl next door. She was a farmer's daughter, and Ginger was a movie star. She had a flaming red hair. She always wore a red carpet dress, and, you know.
Is that Tina Louise?
Tina Louise was.
So were you Tina Louise, Ginger, or were you Marianne?
I was a Marianne boy. Yeah.
That's Donna Wells.
Don Wells.
Don Wells. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you. Let me see now. Just let me do a comparison. Yep, you were on the right team as far as I'm concerned.
So all is good in PIR.
Doris Day was nice too.
Doris rang my bell, folks.
Yeah.
Doris was my gimme.
Well, whatever turns you
on.
Yeah.
Do you know who the gimme is?
Gimme.
Yeah.
When
I married the missus, I told her, I've got a gimme. And she was to get, now she had a gimme too. So the gimme for me was Doris Day. If Doris Day ever tries to seduce me, she can't say anything about it. She has to just let me have it.
Gimme's like a get out clause?
It's a freebie. And object, right? No object.
Who was her?
Gimme.
Well, if it's part of the contract,
I'm just saying,
I wasn't party to it.
So more or less, Ben said, well, I'll love you forever unless Doris Day comes knocking at the door.
Yep, if Doris comes a knocking, cheerio.
Stephen, you're married yourself, are you?
No, I'm not.
That's okay. You're still looking for your
he's
Doris
still Day? Happy.
But you know what? Just since I've...
Are you married or happy?
You've got non-compliance issues?
No, I don't.
But on the plus side, he can do the hell he likes, right?
When he likes and as often as he likes.
He can go to the pub. No one bitches him. No, sorry, I'm going to stop.
I've thought over the last 2 years, you know, why does somebody need a piece of paper to, why does a man, a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man need a piece of paper to,
Listen, they only say that. Women do not need a piece of paper. If you tell a woman you're married to her, that's good enough, trust me.
Yeah. It should be.
Yeah.
No, it is. My woman will tell you. She doesn't give a crap what's on paper. I'm hers, end of.
Yeah. Yeah, and besides,
it's a worship issue, I suppose, if, you know, it's acceptance, consideration, performance, and, hey, you know, that's a
the
contract.
Fact that you were out of your mind at the time.
And wasn't compos mentis.
No.
Yeah. That's another issue. That's a get out clause.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't matter in that contract, right? So,
are you familiar, Stephen, with the Essenes?
Essenes.
Hmm. Essenes, you might pronounce it in America.
I don't think so, no.
Essenes.
No.
Are you familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Just vaguely. I haven't looked into a lot of that or anything. But
wait a minute. So, I'm sorry. We've just had a show-stopping moment on the chat box.
That is?
No. Just Jimmy has just said there is something really hot about Joan Burton.
Holding a hot pink iPhone.
Holding a pink iPhone, yeah. Thanks, Stephen, reading that out there. Because
now, Jimmy, I mean, I'm actually speechless here.
I'm in a state of shock myself.
I guess I need to Google who Joan Burton is.
I think you need to Google.
I think you do.
I think you need to Google that quite quickly. Joan Burton is a minister for welfare here in Ireland.
Yeah, she's not minister for sex.
Okay.
But, sexuality.
Holding a pink iPhone, that's definitely some sort of...
maybe weird, pink eye. Pink eye, not about pink eye phone.
Oh, goodness.
When we had cattle that presented with pink eye, we used to introduce quite a bit of salt, you know.
I no longer want to peer inside Jimmy's head.
Jimmy, we all love you here on PIR, but I think you
should lock that box, Jimmy.
I must come to Jimmy's defense. I can almost imagine 30 years ago, but not today.
Stop, Stephen, stop. Back away from the vehicle.
I think just back off that one, Stephen. Yeah. I think Jimmy now is just outing himself there, so... Jimmy, I'm sorry now, but I'm going to have to refuse to engage with you for quite a while.
That could almost, is that a site ban we should be considering here or something? Something. The humanity of it.
I think main admin should be online there, Jimmy, now and take care of that one.
Jimmy needs to come into the site and ban everybody else bar him.
I know you're into organics, okay? And
she's not organic.
That's
I'm
not
telling
good.
You, she's not.
That's not good. No. I'm sorry, but we ain't going to achieve any sort of consensus on that one.
Wow. I'm stunned. I am stunned.
And the pink iPhone.
I'm shocked, in fact.
The pink iPhone just seals the deal for me.
That's it.
You know?
Wow.
Anyway, Stephen, how are things on your side of the water?
They've gone to hell.
It'd be like finding out Stephen is dating, you know, Hillary Clinton or something.
No, we...
Nah, I would.
Hillary, Stephen, right?
No preconditions. Like, what are things like?
Hell, Bill Clinton doesn't even date Hillary Clinton.
Well, apparently Bill is in there first, so let's leave that as is. Yeah.
Right. Apparently, she doesn't like tobacco.
But if she ain't a smoker, leave it there. Wow. So, what is occurring? Really, is my question on your side of the water.
But hang on, have you seen Monica Lewinsky lately? It's like only a few years ago she was crawling around on her hands and knees.
No, actually, I'm sorry now, but I'd have to correct you both on that one. I did do a little bit of research there on Monica there lately, and I think she's an astounding lady.
She is, actually.
I think she's come through a hell of a lot. I think she was abused and...
Whoa, hang on.
No, she chose that.
And I think that she has risen to the occasion and she has evolved.
Something else.
And she's made her own discernments on a lot of issues. And
she's lucky to be alive.
I think that she's very lucky to be alive.
Her intellect is clearly on par, yeah.
No, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good.
I'd like to meet her.
I'd love to meet her. I'd actually love to shake her hand because I think after what she's been through, given the, you know, that we all grew up around Monica Lewinsky and the situation as it happened and, you know, the whole Bill Clinton ordeal and all the rest of it, and all the investigations and insinuations and all the carry-on of the time, I think she's an amazing woman. And I think, you know, we got to put that in record. Like, I think she's an amazing woman.
No, that's a fair comment. I'll agree with that. I mean, laughing and joking aside.
No.
All joking aside, like, would you agree, Stephen, or how is the interpretation
if she's free
there?
Friday night? Well, hey.
On your side of the water there, how is your interpretation of the Monica Lewinsky story evolving?
Well, you know, I really can't muster up a lot of sympathy for her because she chose to do what she did.
Yeah, but what did she do? She was an intern.
Yeah, well, she
I was
got
to say she was going to do something to get ahead, but I thought,
yeah,
so she was just trying to get ahead. No, never mind.
Okay. Hey, it's late in the night or early in the morning, depending on who you are and where you are.
It is almost 2 a.m.
She was determined, though.
Yeah, it's still early, Stephen.
Yeah.
But what is the interpretation of how she is and where she is on your side of the water?
I haven't seen much of her in the last couple of years. There was a thing a couple of years back where I think she just turned 40 a couple of years back, and they did a little something.
You know, she's perfect for you, Steve.
Fair juice to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're perfect. Give her a send her a message or tell you like Cuban cigars.
Yeah.
Mahatma Colt in the chat there. Monica kept a dress with Slick Willie's jizz on it. She's either very clever or CIA. I'm actually going to say she's very clever because CIA were doing every bloody thing they could do. And they did not know about the dress. They did not know. That's why. And she made sure. She actually came in. I'm nearly sure this is correct. She had a spare dress in her bag and she changed. And it was the same as the one she was wearing on the way in. That's how she managed to do that. And they examined her because they use the, you know, the they have like a UV light.
Yeah.
Shine. And if there's any of that fluid knocking around, it glows in the dark, right? No, I think it's just sperm, right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure because
no,
I think
all females coming in and gone now. Yes. They were scanned. It happens anyway. It shows up on the camera. You don't know. You're just walking along. You don't know one way or the other, but it shows in the camera. But she had the dress rolled up in the bag, took out a different one, exactly the same one, popped it on, strolled out. Nobody knew.
Well, now, I recently saw an interview by her, and, you know, a very recent one, actually. And I was extremely impressed by it. And I thought she was very lucid. I thought she made excellent points. I thought she explained herself extremely well. And I thought that she explained herself in light of all the media attention and that type of thing as being very, very, very together on the whole issue.
Okay, so can I raise a point?
And having gone through a hell of a lot.
Here's one for you. Nobody in the media made any comments about her surname. Did you notice that? They made no associations with her country of origin or the ethnic background. Nobody.
Did that bother you,
Stephen, at the time? Or did that even register with you?
No, it didn't even occur to me.
Right, but now that I've said it, does it mean anything to you?
No.
Does it tick any boxes?
Well, do you think now, like, yeah, hey, why didn't they say anything
about
her origin? I mean, for example, if she was from Iraq or, you know.
Yeah. I do know that there's a joke about her. I mean, yeah, oh, Jimmy got Lewinsky'd last night.
Right.
Brings up a sick joke, but.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but you see, that sort of dispersion, is it fair?
What I'm saying is, if it suited the cabal, that's what they're, you know, this is cancel the cabal we're on.
Let's call them that.
Had it suited the cabal, let's say her country of origin, for example, or her ethnic country of origin, right, she was born in America, I believe, but let's say her ethnic origin was of a country that, was floating on oil, for example.
Yeah.
I think there might have been a different outcome.
You think so?
Possibly.
What could the joke have been at the time?
Well, it wouldn't have been a joke. It would have been, she's infiltrating and spying and we're going to send all her troops, blah, 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 16 million dead. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What do you think, Stephen?
Well, I can actually see something like that trying to be perpetrated over here in America. Sure. I mean, they try some stupid stuff on us and it works
what
for a lot.
What sort of, can you define stupid stuff?
Well, for me.
Yeah, sure. Osama bin Laden had a laptop inside of a cave in Afghanistan, and he orchestrated the entire 9/11 terror attacks.
Apparently for several years.
Several years, yeah.
And don't forget, some schmo managed to interview him in that cave.
Uh-huh.
But the CIA couldn't.
Yeah, no. The joke is, the CIA couldn't find him, but CNN could.
Yeah, no, and just some schmo on CNN, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't like some, wild fucking savant genius, right?
Yeah, it wasn't.
You can't find him. He's real, isn't he?
It wasn't Wolf Blitzer.
No. Poor old Wolf.
Question for you, Stephen.
Okay.
And this is quite a serious question. Do you have to moderate what you say?
Do I have to moderate what? No, I've never censored anyone.
No, I'm not talking about you censoring anybody, but Do you yourself?
You mean when he's just doing living his life?
No. Do you have to moderate what you say now on radio over there?
No. Not at all. Nope.
So you find it doesn't impact upon you at all? The
Do you mean if he's on airwaves?
Yeah.
You can't use the vernacular, right?
Yeah, I can.
I think what Dell is meaning is, you know, in other words, if you want to hate on Obama, as it were, you can still do that.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm my own producer.
System, you know.
I'm my own producer.
Yeah, that suits the left-right paradigm, right?
Yeah, it does. I don't have a dog in the hunt anymore. I clipped the wings off of this tyranny bird a long time ago.
Right. But you can't interview Larkin Rose, right?
I can, if I can get him on, sure.
Proceed. I mean, you know, Larkin Rose is not going to appear on Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Probably not, no.
He's not going to appear on Conan.
Right. And I can't see Ron Paul appearing on my show either.
No, why? Me either. Why?
Why? Well, I actually had a friend that was connected with a one-star general, General Janice Karpinski. And he was trying to talk to her, and he actually gave me her number and said text her first, and I tried texting her and tried to get her on, but obviously somebody was not going to let her on my show either.
Well, I mean, look.
A one-star general? It's not going
to
happen.
No, I think what Dale was trying to get at, though, is, you know, do you have to curb your speech? In other words, are you mindful that, you know, there's things you can talk about and things you can't talk about? I don't think you are.
Well, no, I don't. I deliberately censor my colorful metaphors, if that's what you mean, because you know, I think at times it can dilute the message, and I want the message to get out to 5 and 6 year old kids as well as 85-year-old people.
I'll go along with that. I mean, you know, even tonight when we were on air, you know, one or two may have slipped out unintentionally, but it is unintentionally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really easy to string a whole sentence together using very colorful metaphors, as you said.
Yeah.
But we're not doing anyone any favors doing that. You know, I mean, even in mixed company, you know, men together can do it. Women together can do it. Men and women together. It just, you know, it doesn't work. And then if there's children present, it just gets awkward.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Mommy, what does that mean? But no, there hasn't been any subjects I haven't talked about. I mean, I got a lot of praise from quite a few people. Just I think two weeks back, I had a guest on that was born a man, and now she's living life as a woman. She's had the operation, and
a little bit of news there. You know, I got a message back from Alicia, and she's considering doing a radio show here on People's Internet Radio. And I'm absolutely over the moon about that.
Great.
And, you know, the interview you did, Stephen, that was a seminal interview. I mean, that was just spectacular. It really was. I had so many people, you know, I mean, I knew damn well what they were saying when they said it, but they were basically saying, you know, they were bawling their eyes out.
Yeah.
For that interview, because, and I'm going to tell you straight, I was too.
Yeah.
You know, I had a stream going down my face listening to that interview. That was just, it was stunning. And, you know, I'm going to say it here live on air. No other host, I don't think, could have done that interview the way you did. You know, had it off to you, my friend. That was just, you were just amazing. You were amazing. And, you know, she was incredible. That was just, I don't think we've ever had as honest an interview on People's Internet Radio ever as that interview. It was just... It was truly spectacular. It really was. And I don't mean because of the content. I mean because of the presence of mind, the emotion, and the honesty. It was stunning. So Alicia is considering becoming a host on People's Internet Radio. And, you know, I mean, at present, I mean, I am going to say it to her because at present, she is getting a lot of media attention.
Yeah.
So I might say, look, you know, it's possible media attention might wane for you. And if that's the way, you know, because you're on PIR and if that's the way you want to go, then go that way and come back to us in 10 years type of thing. Because I'd hate to think that just being on PIR would be detrimental.
I don't think it would be. I mean,
I don't know. But, I'm just saying, I'm going to make that clear. I am going to make that clear.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been told from virtually day one when it was, I joined this network when it was still TNS. It was TNS radio for 3 days, and then it changed to MSI radio. Mm-hmm. And I got told from day one to stay away from you people, and I still haven't had a reasonable explanation why I need to get away from you people. And it was directed at me that you people get away from them people, Stephen.
Yeah.
And I still haven't had a reasonable explanation why.
There's lots of people join TNS, PIR, MSI, as you say. Yeah. And they have sent me those messages saying, Vin, or someone else will send me a message saying, somebody told me I should stay away from you people.
Yeah.
And I say, did they tell you why? No.
Yeah.
Go ask them.
Yeah.
What did they say? They said you're dangerous.
They're just bad people. They're just bad people, Stephen. They're just bad people. Stay away from them. Yeah.
Right. In other words, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, stay away from red paint, Stephen. Why? It's just bad, Stephen. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Red paint, bad.
It is. It is.
I mean, there's times I've thought, I need to stay the hell away from you people. That was a joke.
It hasn't worked.
That was a joke. No, generally what they mean, I'll tell you what they mean. When you hear them say, stay away from PIR or MSI or whatever the hell, what they mean is, don't go there. You might start thinking for yourself.
Probably so.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's what it means. You might start making some actual realizations. Well, nobody who's in control wants the ones they're controlling to make actual realizations, do they? I know if I was in control, I sure as hell wouldn't.
Or determinations.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
And it really bothered me, especially from the main character that brought me to TNS Radio was the very first one that told me to get away.
Sure. You mean Michael Stevens?
Yeah, Live Mike. Yeah.
I tell you, look. Mike was a very nice guy. He flew over from America to see us. He came to the Christmas party. What exactly happened, I really couldn't tell you. It's like a switch got switched in his head. And suddenly, I mean, I liked the guy. I genuinely liked the guy. And I needed a lot to offer. He really did. He was heavy with indoctrinated stuff. And that's okay to a certain degree. He wasn't nasty with it. And as I said, I genuinely liked the guy. But I mean, I saw since that he was sending messages to people telling them I was a Freemason.
Yeah.
And I know he knows. At least I know he doesn't know whether or not I am or not. But he was telling it to people as if it was a fact. So, and I'm thinking, why would a guy who proclaims to be a deeply, a devout Christian, why would somebody like that actually lie? Knowing, I mean, as I said, if he was as devout a Christian as he said he was, why would he actually lie like that?
Psychopaths do the things that they do.
He wasn't a psychopath. He wasn't. He wasn't.
Well, some people do the things that they want to do because...
I'm going to say it's strange, Stephen. As I said, I like Michael and I miss him. I actually miss him.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was a very decent guy. What happened was he went into a different area and he got hurt and upset. And that was how he dealt with it.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate. It was unfortunate. But I'd be honest, I'd be delighted if you called me tomorrow. That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think it's a good place to end this here.
Fair enough.
I know it's after 2 over there.
Apparently.
Apparently. And you guys still are sober, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Completely.
Apparently.
Apparently. Well, guys, thanks for coming on and some very good conversation and good insights.
It was interesting.
We've covered a few topics.
Yes, we have. Honor.
Thanks for having us.
Actually, did we actually get to hell? Did we actually finish honor?
Very, very little bit of it.
Next week we'll talk about honor.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Thanks, Stephen.
All right, everyone.
Thanks, Stephen.
God bless.
Have a good night.
You too.
Keep the faith.
Yep. All right. Thanks for Vin and Del stopping in. That was a lot of good stuff. I like that. So I'm all done for this Sunday evening, 25th of October, 2015, allegedly. Catholic Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Robertson. See everyone Wednesday.